fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our two special guests, Dr. Dan Williamson and his lovely wife, Lynn. We've been talking this week with Dan and Lynn about really first into the Christian church and then in moving his way now coming into the Catholic church. And yesterday we ended the program with Dan sharing the story of at the time he was a Nazarene pastor and he had received the grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and had the gift of tongues and when the superintendent, sort of like the equivalent of a Catholic bishop kind of, you know, just analogous, he shared it with them and he kind of got fired on the spot. And Dan called it being shipwrecked. So welcome back, you guys. It's great to have you back on the program.
It's good to be here.
Thanks, Lynn. So you were shipwrecked.
Yes, sir.
They booted you out, and you actually had to go through all kinds of stuff, but eventually they said you can no longer be a pastor. So then what did you do?
Well, God had called me in Honduras, you know, with that outpouring, and he told me I was going to be speaking the rest of my life. So he talked to me in a dream, and he told me I'm going to take you someplace where you don't want to go. And he said, go to Tecumseh. So I took some intercessors, and we drove to Tecumseh, Michigan. And he said, this isn't it. And he said, Howe. So we went to Howe, Michigan, and actually ended up in intercession and praising the Lord before the grain bins, the silos. And it's all prophetic type of stuff that I had no clue about. And then one day, one of our intercessors, who is now my wife, Lynn, was praying outside this house in the inner city of Toledo. And a policeman pulled up beside her and said, lady, do you know where you are? And she says, no. She said, I've been praying over this house for 2 years. And he said, that is the leader of one of the gangs in Toledo. You have no business being here. And she said, well, what street am I on? And he said, Tecumseh. And that's where God told us to go.
I see.
And so we went right down the street to a city park. And it was all African-American. I had never ministered really before to African-American, a community like that. And so all these people from outside that we knew from different church backgrounds that just wanted to come in and do street ministry and minister to children, they started to come in. We were meeting at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and all these kids started getting saved. And then they were getting baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Even one of the Baptist preachers, his daughter, got filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. So we didn't see her for a couple of weeks, but then she came back. It was such a positive effect. And they didn't come because of me. They came because the Lord told Lynn to go in and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. And that's when the kids were getting out of school. And she was at a picnic table reading her Bible. And these two little girls, probably 5 or 6 years of age, came up and said, what's some old white woman doing in our park reading her Bible? And she told them that Jesus told her to go in there. And within 30 minutes, those little girls were trying to braid her hair, and the walls fell down. See, Lynn went in obedience to what God asked her to do. And as she just began sharing because of who she is in Christ, those little girls' hearts were opened up to her, which then opened them up to the message of the Lord.
So Lynn, how is it that you ended up standing outside a drug house or a crack house or something like that, praying and interceding periodically over a two-year period? What was that all about? How'd that happen?
I would say it happened from the gift of tongues, because as I would pray in my prayer language before the Lord, there would be a wooing in my spirit. And when I asked the pastor about what that could mean, he had said to me, your spirit will line up when your natural mind is set aside and you fill it up with the words that you speak to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so as you become closer to God in praying to him, then your natural mind goes to the things of God and you begin to understand what he wants you to do. And I kept getting impressed to go into the inner city. So as I would drive, I'd say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And seriously, it was just turn left here, turn right here, turn left there, stop. And I pulled up in front of that house, and that wooing was there. And I thought,
like a prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is leading you to intercede and to pray.
Yes.
And so you're just trying to be obedient.
Absolutely.
To the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I would spend time fasting because I knew the less of me would be the more of him. And that was the result of doing that for the very first time. He actually sent me on a mission.
Did you know Did you know what you were praying for? I mean, like, did you know what house? You just felt like the Lord said, be here and pray in front of this house and be a prayerful presence. And did you know what the house was about?
Not really. I knew I was drawn to the house. And I began, in my spirit, I sensed the mother was in anguish, that, you know, she was struggling. And it was in the pits, you know. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood was in a really rough place. And yet I knew that God had me hidden, that I could do these things and be safe. And so I just would begin praying in my prayer language. And after about 2 months, this little kid started showing up on the front porch. And he was always there when I would pull up, and I'd just sit there and pray. And then when I would turn on the car to leave, he'd yell, "What are you doing here?" And I would just put my hand up and say, "God bless you." And I kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
And so that went on for about 2 years. And I'm thinking, Lord,
wow,
it was a mystery. But one time I went in with another intercessor, and we went to the local YMCA, and they had an after-school program. And the security guard there was a praise and worship leader at a Messianic Jewish synagogue. And I said, "Can you give me the hit list around here?" And he says, "What are you talking about?" And I says, "I need to know where the gangs are at. And if you have a hit list, I sure would like to know." He says, "I'll get it for you." Well, that house address was on the hit list. And so we thought, okay, we got to pray because this is one of the kids that are there. We thought, that's the answer. Prayed a few more months, and that's when the policeman asked me if I knew where I was.
Hmm.
When he said Tecumseh, I just started smiling at him. I mean, he must have thought I was a crazy lady because it would not have been a natural response, but I knew that we had found the place God wanted us to be.
So interesting that you guys had been praying and interceding months before, and somebody had the experience of just hearing the word, like, in their spirit or whatever, Tecumseh, like, go to Tecumseh.
Yes.
And so trying to be obedient and zealous, you kind of get on the mat. Where's Tecumseh? Well, the closest Tecumseh is in Michigan, just up the road a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
yeah.
go there and pray. Let's just go to Tecumseh.
Right. Yes.
And so you did it in obedience, but it wasn't the place that the Lord ultimately was leading you,
yeah.
but you were continuing to follow
press
the prompting in.
In
your own heart. Yeah, just being faithful. And then boom, you know, you're
yeah.
in front of this drug house or whatever,
yeah.
and unbeknownst to you, you're literally on the street
yes.
With the name Tecumseh. So what did you guys do from there? You began to touch on it just a little bit, Dan, but yeah. what was the next step then?
The next step was actually going in and sitting. That's when I actually went to sit in the park. And because we knew that was just around the corner from where Tecumseh was, St. Stanislaus was on the corner, mm-hmm. and the neighborhood was in a squared off area behind the church. So I went, and when I stepped on the ground, I felt the Lord. I sensed his presence there. So I knew I had to sit down because I couldn't stand. I just knew he was there. And so when Alicia and Felicia came over and asked me what an old white woman doing in their park, I knew that it was a God moment. And they ended up being our little evangelist. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started out with them, and it grew to 30 kids, ages 3 to 13. And it was all because of Alicia and Felicia.
And most of these kids were fatherless or just in
yeah.
very, very difficult situations?
Very difficult situations, a lot of alcoholism and drugs in that area and prostitution. One night we picked up a little girl, brought her home after church at St. Martin de Porres, and the mother, which I thought was a mother, here was a grandmother, was very upset because we brought her home and she wasn't done taking care of her business. So, you know, they would walk into these things. Yes, a customer. Yeah.
I see.
Those little people taught us the dregs and despair of what they can be living in, and then they have to survive it all.
Yeah. So looking at what you were talking about yesterday, Dan, you had, as a Nazarene pastor, you had dreams of the Catholic Church in various ways. John Paul II in a dream calling you forward mm-hmm. and stuff. And so then you get this word about Tecumseh. You guys are starting feeling drawn to work in the inner city.
Right.
And you're starting to care for young people in the inner city. But then it takes another turn, if I remember you mentioning to me, toward the Catholic Church. It's another step in some
yes.
of God's plan. What happened then?
Well, we were going in and we were doing servant evangelism. Mm-hmm. We were trying to serve the people. We were picking up trash, drug needles from the park, and the people, we would actually do prayer walks around the neighborhood, and we would have people come by and throw beer bottles at us, and none of them actually hit me, but it landed at my feet. And it was just trying to intimidate us to see if we were going to do what
stick
God,
around, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
what God had wanted us to do. And so it got cold. We were feeding these kids. We would go in and feed them and teach them about Jesus. And we knew it was getting cold, so we said, we got to find a church for the winter to bring them in. So we were behind St. Stanislaus Catholic Church, and we talked to their priest and asked him if we could use their building. And he said he has to talk to the parish council. Well, they didn't want to because of prejudice. And mm-hmm. so we went to 12 different churches and basically the same thing. You know, for one reason or another, we could not use their building. So 2.5 miles down the road was St. Martin de Porres, and we went in to see Father Marty Donnelly. And when we told Father Marty Donnelly our mm-hmm. story, he said, you can use my office, you can use a sanctuary, you can use any room in this church. And he said, can we use your basement? And because the Lord had given us a dream that revival would start in the basement of a Catholic church. So we always asked for the basement because there's no place to go but up in the basement. But that began my journey in the Catholic Church, having cups of coffee with Father Marty. His brother was the auxiliary bishop when we were there, and Father Marty was just a very loving man. He would come down when we had those babies there. He would just cry. You could see him through the doorway about how God was touching his life because these children were coming into the church. We'd take them there. We'd get a busload of them, maybe a couple car loads, and take them on a Sunday morning. And when we go up for communion or Eucharist, one of the little boys, little Daryl, he said, I want the blood, I want the blood. And this little boy was like 3 or 4, just very, very young. And Father Marty said, one day you will. And he said, no, I want the blood now. We had never talked to him about the cup or anything. That was spontaneous on his little heart that he wanted mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that was precious. Things like that were happening in that parish. But I praise God for Father Marty Donnelly, because here was a man that didn't expect anything out of it, but just gave, he was a servant, hospitality, opened up the house of God for those that had nothing, and just a tremendous man of God.
And that captured your hearts, to yes. meet a priest like that. And,
yes.
Yeah, praise God, it's beautiful. So you ended up having conversations with Father, not just about the ministry, but about your own life and about the Catholic Church. So that kind yes. of began the process for you. Little did you know, I mean, that's John Paul II waving you in, and he
yes.
said, he probably set you up. The Lord probably told him to set you up with Father Marty Donnelly, right?
Oh, and we were glad for it. We love JP.
Yeah.
My life had blown up when I got kicked out of the Nazarene Church. I lost all my friends because they were all Nazarene. All the pastors, I had a weekly prayer meeting with all the pastors, all the Protestants, they left me. Some lies had been spread. The woman that I was married to left me. I lost my 2 sons. And it's amazing to me how things can be taken from you, but then the Lord can bring in real life and, mm-hmm. and victory. So it was tough to walk through. It was a battle, but God got me through that valley of death yeah. and brought me to a better place.
No, it's really good. I really appreciate you sharing that. That's the kind of God he is. He knows you. Just as he knew Dan, he knew Lynn,
yes.
knew what they went through. He knows you personally, and he cares about you. He's a good father, and you can trust him. And you might be in a valley right now, and I think the story of Dan and Lynn is pretty simple and straightforward. Turn your heart fully to Christ. Cry out to God. Trust him. Hold on to him.
Amen.
And let him lead you out. He will lead you. God's Spirit is with you. You cry out for it, you can receive it, and you can move in him, and he'll take you to the place that he's destined you to be so you can live in his glory and in his peace and in his freedom. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.